the evil inclination. It is said that our body is only a temporary casing for an eternal soul that descends from above, and that the cycle of life and death can be compared to the change of clothing by a person in our world. The soul changes one body for another just as easily as a person changes one set of clothes for another. The definition of a selfless fulfillment of the will of the Creator, as well as the definition of being an altruist in both thought and action, embodies the process of self-evaluation and self-assessment irrespective of the unpleasant events or incidents that are purposely sent by the Creator to the person. The process of self-evaluation should bring one to see this truly low state, but still keep him committed to the fulfillment of the Creator's will and to the aspiration of carrying out the direct and just laws of the spiritual world contrary to his personal well-being. The aspiration to be similar to the Creator in one's qualities may derive from the suffering and trials experienced by a person, but it can also emanate from the perception of the Creator's grandeur. Then an individual's choice consists of asking the Creator to advance him by means of the Kabbalah. All the actions undertaken by a person must be motivated by the intention to perceive the grandeur of the Creator so that the perception and the realization of this aspect could help a person become purer and more spiritual. In order to advance spiritually, at every level, an individual must be concerned with the development in himself of the perception of the Creator's grandeur. He must realize that to attain spiritual perfection, or even to remain at the spiritual level at which he exists, he needs to cultivate a deeper understanding of the Creator's grandeur. The worth of the gift is determined by the importance of the one who gives it. This is true to a great degree. For instance, an object that belongs to a personality that's considered famous and important by society is often worth millions. The worth of the Kabbalah is also determined by the prominence of the one who awards the Kabbalah to us. If a person doesn't believe in the Creator, then the Kabbalah is worth no more to him than any other historical or literary document. But if he does believe in the power of the Kabbalah and in its usefulness to him, because he believes in the upper power, then the value of the Kabbalah is immeasurably higher to him. The more a person believes in the Creator, the more value the Kabbalah presents for that person. Consequently, every time a person voluntarily submits himself to the dominion of the Creator in accordance with the magnitude of the person's faith in him, he also grasps the significance of the Kabbalah and its inner meaning. In this manner, it can be said that each consecutive time a person reaches a higher spiritual level, he receives a new Kabbalah, or a new light, as if from a new Creator. The above process refers only to those who receive a new revelation of the Creator's light as they ascend on the spiritual ladder. For this reason, it is said that the righteous person lives by his faith. The magnitude of his faith determines the amount of the perceived light. Every day is the awarding of a new light for a Kabbalist. Every day, or the time when the light of the Creator radiates, is a new light. An individual may be brought up to observe the commandments, but it's impossible to educate him to the need to assign his actions particular altruistic intentions, since this cannot become part of an individual's egotistic nature that could automatically be carried out just like the need of the body. If a person is permeated by the feeling that his war against egoism is a war against the forces of darkness, against the qualities that are opposite to the Creator, then in this manner that person removes these forces from himself and does not associate himself with them, avoids them in his thoughts, as if he departs from the desires of his own body. Continuing to feel these desires, he begins to despise them as one despises an enemy. In this manner he can triumph over egoism and at the same time find comfort in its suffering. An action of this type is known as the war of vengeance for the sake of the Creator, called Nikmat Hashem. Gradually, a person will be able to get used to perceiving the right goals, thoughts, and intentions, irrespective of the desires and egotistic demands of the body. If, while studying, an individual does not see any benefit for himself, and this lack of perceived benefit causes him to suffer, then this is known as the evil inclination, or the Yetzer Ra. The degree of evil is determined by the level of perception of evil, by the extent of his suffering from his lack of attraction to spirituality unless he receives it in a personal benefit. The more he suffers from the unchanging situation, the greater is the degree of his perception of evil. If a person understands by reason that he's not yet succeeding in spiritual advancement, but this does not cause him pain, it means that he does not yet have an evil inclination, since he's not suffering from the evil. If a person doesn't feel evil in himself, then he must engage in the study of Kabbalah. But if he perceives the evil in himself, then he needs to rid himself of it by faith above reason. The definitions given above require explanations. It's written in the books of Kabbalah, I created the evil inclination, called force or desire, and I also created the Torah as a tavlin, or a spice, for it, or for its correction. Tavlin means spices, additives, supplements that make the food tasty and acceptable for consumption. We see that the primary creation is the evil, the egoism. The Kabbalah is only an addition to it, that is, the means that allow us to taste and to use evil. This is very peculiar, because it is also stated that the commandments are given only for the purpose of purifying the soul and their aid. This implies that once a person is purified, he will no longer need the commandments, which are spiritual acts in order to correct one. The true goal of creation is for the Creator to give pleasures to His created beings. For this purpose, the creatures are endowed with the desire for pleasure, with the aspiration to receive pleasure. In order for the creations not to experience the feelings of shame at the time when they receive pleasure, which would spoil the pleasure itself, the creations are given an opportunity to correct the feelings of shame. This can be achieved if the created beings are not willing to receive anything for themselves, but only in order to please the Creator. Only then will they not feel shame at receiving pleasure, since they will receive it for the sake of the Creator rather than for their own gratification. But what can be given to the Creator that would give Him pleasure? For this, the Creator gave us the Kabbalah and the spiritual laws so that we could observe them for His sake. Then He can send us pleasures we can receive and will not be diminished by the feelings of shame and the insinuations of charity. If a person acts according to the spiritual laws, i.e. for the sake of the Creator, that person is similar to the Creator in his actions, which are aimed at giving pleasure to human beings. As the desires, the acts, and the qualities of a person gain greater resemblance to those of the Creator, that person and the Creator advance closer to one another. The Creator desires that we should give to Him, as He gives to us, in order for our pleasures not to be overshadowed by shame and not to be seen as charity. The spiritual desire, which is a desire that possesses all the conditions necessary to receive the light, determines the magnitude and the type of the pleasure that is received. Because the light of the Creator includes everything in itself, each one of our desires can be gratified by something. It isolates from the entire light that which is desired by us. The Creator prescribes precisely 613 commandments for the correction of the evil in us into the good for us, because He created our desire for gratification from precisely 613 parts, and each commandment corrects a certain part or a quality. For this reason it says, I created the evil and the Torah for its correction. But what is the purpose of observing the Torah or the spiritual laws after the correction of evil? Spiritual laws are given to us when a person is still under the enslavement of his own nature and is unable to act for the sake of the Creator, because one remains distant from the Creator due to the disparity of qualities. The 613 spiritual laws allow that person to have the strength to depart from egoism. And two, at the end of the correction, when a person is in the state of unity with the Creator due to the congruence of qualities and desires, that person becomes worthy of the light of the Torah. 613 spiritual laws become a part of that person's spiritual body. They become the vessel of his soul, and into each of the 613 desires, the person receives the light of pleasure. As we see at this stage, the spiritual laws transform from the means of correction to the place of receiving pleasure. They become the vessel, the kli.